Tonight we're glad that you've come to be with us. Our numbers are few, no doubt because of the weather and others being out of town, but it's good for you to be here and good to be with you. There are several reasons why we're going to miss Heather and Eric and the boys. One is Chase leading our singing, as he has done tonight. He does a very good job, and we're truly going to miss him. We lost John, a song leader, and now we're going to lose Chase. But we're going to miss them dearly for several reasons. They have been good for the work here, and we're going to hate to see them go. But our prayers will be with them as they move to Alabama and continue their service of the Lord there. Hate that Marshall and Emily are sick and the children. I think now Mary and Aaron are also sick. Marshall was going to be preaching tonight, but you'll have to deal with me again this evening. Hope some things we have to say will be of benefit to you tonight. Not anything profound, not anything you probably haven't heard before, but some things we need to be reminded of. You know, God has communicated His will to man by the medium of words. And they're the words of the Bible, and that's what the Bible claims. It claims to be the words of God given by inspiration of God. And that's how we know His mind to us, His will for our lives. And in order then for us to know the will of God, we've got to read those words. We've got to study it. We've got to come to an understanding of it. God does not force His will on any of us. He provides it for us, but it's going to require us studying and reading in order to come to an understanding of it. So what I want to talk about tonight are some things that will hinder us in our Bible study and some things that are required in order for us to engage in profitable Bible study. And so first of all, let's talk about some hindrances to right interpretation of the Bible. Turn that here. First of all, a desire to please the world will hinder our interpretation of the Bible. If you notice in John chapter 12, by the way, I taught the high school class this morning, and this is the material that we talked about in the high school class this morning. But in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Him," that is, in Jesus. "But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Here, they were more concerned about what men thought than what God thought. Now, think about how that would affect one's interpretation of the Bible. As they would read Scripture, if their concern was primarily to please the world, to please their fellow man, then their interpretation of the Bible would be to be consistent with that desire to do those things that what we call today politically correct. They wouldn't want to take positions or do those things that would be against what would be pleasing unto the world. But you know that these rulers here who believed in Jesus were not pleasing to the Lord because of their desire to please the world or the praise of men more than the praise of God. Look with me also in Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 10. Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Pleasing men, the desire to please men, and being a bondservant or a servant of Christ do not go together. They're like oil and water. They just do not mix. And the reason is because if ever there's a conflict between what the world, what men say, and what Jesus says, our desire then would be to please the world and not to do what the Lord says. So it's very important that we get established in our mind that our desire here is to please God, not the world. In order for us to come to an understanding of God's will, it's going to require a desire to please the Lord and not the world. A good example in this day and time, it's amazing to me that you'll find some churches of Christ, and I have heard there are even some churches of Christ now that are accepting practicing homosexuals. Why did that happen? How could there be a group of people who claim to be followers of Christ and claim that the Bible is the divine revelation of God accept practicing homosexuals into their fellowship? Well, the only reason is because they desire to please the world. And that's what it will lead to. You might say, I would never do that. Well, if I open the floodgate in any area and I come to an interpretation of Scripture to please the world rather than God, then I've opened myself up to eventually one day to accept a teaching that I thought I would never accept. It just keeps going. I've got to establish now that I'm going to search the Scriptures not to please the world, but to please God. And then the second hindrance to a proper interpretation of the Bible is to regard the Bible as the property of a favored few. And there are religious groups today who do believe that the common man is not capable of understanding the Bible himself. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the laity are not capable of understanding the Bible themselves, that God has ordered or ordained that the clergy, the Pope, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, that they are the ones who will give us a correct interpretation of the Bible. And that's the reason that in my studies with Roman Catholics, that they do not know a lot about the Bible. They haven't read it a lot because they don't believe they need to read it. Matter of fact, in my study with one, a Roman Catholic, he said, I really don't need to read this, because he had his priest to tell him what it says. Well, if that be the case, then I'll never come to an understanding myself of what the Bible teaches. I'll end up then following what the priest of the Roman Catholic Church says it says, rather than me studying it for myself. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that God has given man an organization that will give us the correct interpretation of the Bible. They believe, they'll tell you that, yes, you can understand the Bible by your reading, but they believe we need help. If we're really going to come to an understanding of what the Bible teaches, then we need God's servant to give us the correct interpretation, and that is the church class, they say, but really it's controlled by the Watchtower Society, and what publications they produce gives us the correct interpretation of the Scriptures. And so they're the ones that will tell us what the Bible says. And then there are groups today who may believe their pastor is the one that's going to tell them what the Bible teaches. That they don't really need to study, they'll just listen to their pastor, and whatever their pastor says is what they will then believe the Bible teaches. Well, what happens when we do that and we follow these men rather than what the Bible says is that we'll end up following the teachings of those men rather than the Bible. And when those men go astray and those men are teaching something that's contrary to the Scriptures, then we'll end up being led by them into error. What the Bible teaches, and is very clear, is that any of us who will open our heart to the Bible can understand it. Look with me in John chapter 8 and verse 32. If you notice in verse 30 of this chapter, John 8 verse 30, it says, and he spoke these words, or rather, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. And then it says in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now Jesus here is speaking to those who believe in him. Not to a special group of believers, but just those who believe in him. And he's saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, they are capable of knowing the truth themselves. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 4, Paul says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now here, Paul says that God desires that all men come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, if God desires that we all come to a knowledge of the truth, all men, surely He has given us a word that is capable of being understood, that is capable of being known. Why would He give us His word, which is His will, in words that could not be understood if He desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth? The point is that He has given us His will in words whereby we can understand it, because He desires that we understand it. Look with me also. Someone says, well, how do you go about understanding His will? Look in Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. Beginning with verse 3 of Ephesians 3, Paul says, "How that by revelation He, that is God, made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets." Now, the mystery was that which was hidden in the mind of God. Through the Old Testament period, there was God's plan of redemption was hidden in His mind. But what Paul is saying here, that mystery, that which had been hidden, is now made known. It's being revealed by the Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets. Paul was one of the apostles to whom it was revealed by the Spirit. Now, Paul says that he's written it down. And he says to these Christians in Ephesus, he says, "Whereby when you read, you may have my understanding in the mystery of Christ." So how is it that we're going to know what the apostles and prophets of the first century, who had this revelation given to them by the Spirit, how are we going to know what they knew? Well, what Paul says here, by reading what they wrote. So as we read the writings of the apostles and prophets, we can have their understanding in the mystery of Christ. That's how we know. And so what these passages are telling us, God wants us to know His will, come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth." And how do we know it? Well, by reading what the Spirit-guided men wrote. And as we read those words, the promise is given that we can understand by reading what was written. It was not given to a favored few to understand it, and then they tell us what it says. My question would be, why is it that what these men would say to me, I can understand it better than what Paul and Peter said? And what James says, was not God able to lead these men to reveal His will to us as well as He would to lead, let's say, the priest or the bishops and the cardinals and the pope of the Roman Catholic Church or the men who published the Watchtower Society? Why is it that I can understand what they say any better than what the Bible says? The point is, there's always going to be division when it comes to people studying the words of others, the writings of others. And the only way that we're going to understand is by reading with an open and honest heart, with the belief that we can understand it, and read it with the intent of coming to an understanding of what His will is. And we can understand it ourselves through our own study. But another hindrance to a proper interpretation of the Bible is using the Bible to prove doctrine already believed. Really, what we're talking about here is, instead of searching the Scriptures for what they may obtain, what is taught there, doctrine is first assumed, and then we go to the Scriptures to try to prove the doctrine we already believe. Now, this may be, we've been part of a church for many years. We were raised in a church. And that church teaches a certain doctrine, certain doctrines. And I believe it. I like those doctrines. I want to believe it. And so, when I study the Scriptures, I study the Scriptures in order to prove the doctrine that I already believe, that's already been believed. Or it may be that I've been taught by my parents to believe certain things. And so I've been raised to believe certain things by my parents. And I like that. I want to please my parents, so I believe that doctrine. And so when I go to the Bible to read and study it, I study it with the purpose of trying to prove the doctrine that I was taught by my parents. I will tell you, that will hinder us in our study. This kind of approach leads to the wrong use of Scripture. it will lead us to then twist and distort the Scriptures to make it say what we want it to say. We need to realize that the Bible is not a book with which to prove doctrine. It was the book that gives us doctrine. That is doctrine itself. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 16 and 17, Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine." So the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, teaching, doctrine, is given in the book. That's what we need to be believing. That's the doctrine that needs to be taught. That's the doctrine we need to learn. Not learning doctrine out here somewhere and then going to the Bible to try to determine. Now, I think we've all been taught certain things by our parents. We've heard doctrines being taught. Some we like, some we maybe not like. But when we study the Bible, our study should not be for the purpose of trying to prove something I like, a doctrine, or to disprove a doctrine I don't like. That should not be my approach. My point here is that hinders us in our coming to a proper understanding. It should be determined what is doctrine, what should be my teaching. And that should be the reason that we study the Scriptures. And then another hindrance to proper Bible study is reading the Bible without intending or expecting to understand it. As we already indicated, we can understand it. But if I don't believe that I can understand the Bible, I'm probably not going to give it the attention that it deserves. I may read it, but I'll read it just out of duty, just because I know I need to be reading, but I'm not really reading to find out really what God's will is, because I don't believe I can understand it in the first place. Or I might read it without any system. I'll read from Matthew here one day, and knowing that I need to read it, I'll read from Genesis the next day, and then maybe from Isaiah the next day. And there's no system. All I'm doing is just reading Scripture. Or it may be that I just read my favorite passages. To say I've read my Bible and I just read those that I can understand and that I like reading. That's not Bible study. That's not Bible reading. Bible study is reading to determine, believing I can understand the Bible. And I read it for that purpose, to know God's will. And then another hindrance is a desire to do as we please. We've already talked about the desire to please the world. And really, I would suggest to you that that's probably a desire to do what I want. Because when I do what pleases the world, that's what I want to do. I want to please a certain person, or I want to please the people around me. There's peer pressure. And so I don't want to displease them, so I give in to them. And so I'm doing really what I desire. Well, all of that will lead us to a false interpretation of the Bible. Look in 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 2. Paul says to Timothy, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." According to their own desires, they'll heap up for themselves teachers. They'll get teachers to teach what they want to hear. Well, we'll never come to an understanding of the truth if that is our desire. Well, these are things that will hinder a right interpretation of the Bible. Let's talk about now some requirements for proper Bible study. And we will probably be repeating ourselves in some of this, but let's talk about it in a positive sense. First of all, faith in the divine inspiration of the Bible is required. Again, if I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then I will probably not give it the attention that it deserves. If I believe it's just the words of men, then I may read it to see what it has to say, because I've heard it says some good things. But I realize it's just men's ideas, just men's thoughts. And I, as a result of my observation of life, may come to different ideas and different thoughts than what I read in the Bible. And I might think, well, you know, I think my ideas are better than what they're saying. And why not accept what I believe and what I think over what these men have written, because it's just the words of men. And you see how the reading of the Bible is not going to be to determine really what God's will is for our life. We're just reading it in order to see what conclusions I'm going to come to. But when we believe that the Bible is divinely inspired, then we understand that this is the will of God. And then when we understand that this book says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." I understand how important the will of the Father is. And I understand how important it is in doing the will of the Father. But I also understand in order to do the will of the Father, I've got to know what the will of the Father is. I must understand what it is. Therefore, reading the Bible for the purpose of understanding it is very important. Why? Because it's the will of my Maker. It's His will for my life. He's telling me how He wants me to live. He's telling me why He created me. And also I read in His Word where that's the standard by which I'm going to be judged. I'm going to stand before my Maker one day and be judged by Him. And the standard by which He will judge us is what's written in this book. Let me ask you this. How would you treat the contents of a human document if you really believe that the gift of $1 million depended upon you understanding its contents? If you understood it, then you get $1 million. Well, you would probably, because we really would like to get $1 million, we would read it really wanting to understand what it is saying. We're talking about something here that's far more important than gaining $1 million. We're talking about pleasing our Maker and going to heaven. And that's what coming to an understanding of these words is all about. It's pleasing our Maker, knowing His will, doing it so that we can please Him and that we can go to heaven. We need to have that faith in the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. And also, another requirement is a desire to know and do the truth. When I understand who God is, and I understand that He wants me to love Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that I then choose to love Him. That means I choose now to please Him. I want to please Him. We sung about that in the song right before the lesson. As the deer pants for the water, my soul pants, desires you. And when we've got that kind of desire for God, is a desire to do His will, to know it and to do it and to put it into practice. It's an expression of love for God. If we love Him, we want to please Him. But the only way we can know to please Him is to do it, to read and understand His Word, His will, and to do it. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. And this is really looked at it from a negative standpoint. Going back to verse 9, he says, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish." Now notice, he's talking about those who perish here. "Because they," those who perish, "did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now, again, this is the negative aspect. These are people who are perishing. These are the people who are condemned. These are the people whom God will even send a working of error, a strong delusion, that they might believe the lie. Why? Because they don't love the truth. They don't want the truth. For so long, they've thrust the light of the truth from them. They have refused the truth. They don't believe it. They don't want it. That, then, is the reason God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. But what that says is I need to love the truth. I need to believe it. I need to desire it. I want it more than anything else. It's not $1 million here that we're seeking. It is eternal life, being right with our Maker. And therefore, that is necessary if I am going to come to an understanding of His will. I want that more than anything else. Precious, more precious than silver and gold. We sing about that in Psalm 19. Is that the way we really believe? I'll tell you, if we really love God in that way and desire His will more than anything else, we're going to be studying and we're going to be reading and we're going to be reading it with the belief that we can understand it and we can come to an understanding of His will. Another requirement is a removal of religious prejudice. Now, prejudice is preconceived judgment or opinion. It's prejudging something. It's where you've already come concluded in your mind what is right before you have all the facts, before you've investigated. That's prejudice. And we need to remove all religious prejudice. As we mentioned earlier, we have our beliefs. Maybe we were raised this way. We're part of a church that believes this way. And that's what I want to believe. Well, I prejudge that that's truth, maybe before I really read the Scriptures and studied it out. Well, I need to rid my minds of the prejudices, the prejudgments, and I need to say, okay, I'm going to just search for truth. And whatever is the truth, that's what I'm then going to believe and put into practice in my life. Also, we need to have good common sense. Exercise good common sense. And what I mean by common sense is practical understanding, the ordinary capacity to see and take things in their right light and sound judgment. It doesn't take a genius to understand what the Bible says. It just takes sound judgment, common sense. Since the Lord chose to reveal His will to us by means of human language, the way in which we interpret human language is how we're going to come to an understanding of the Bible. And we do it all the time in our conversations with people when we hear what people say. The proper way of coming to an understanding of what they're saying involves some hermeneutic, as they say. That's the study of how to interpret, how to get out what the person is saying, what is meant by those words. Whether it's oral words or whether it's written down, there are certain rules that are used. And we do them all the time and are coming to an understanding of what those words mean, what that person is saying. That's the same rules that we use in interpreting the Scripture. We don't come up with new rules to interpret the Bible. It's the same rules we use all the time. And we just need to use some common sense in taking those principles, those rules, and applying them to the study of the Bible. I've used this illustration before. Well, let me back up and say this, that when we talk about interpreting the Bible, we usually say in order to interpret God's will for us, and by the way, this is one of authority giving His will for us, instructing us about how He wants us to live, how He wants us to think, about morals. And so really what we have in this literature is information about how we are to live, about who He is and how He wants us to live in this life. And whenever you read a document that is instructing somebody in authority that's instructing you what you need to do, how do you go about doing that? Whether it's reading a document or whether it's getting instructions from your boss or from your parents or whoever it might be, you know, you listen to those words and you determine exactly what they're saying and then you do it. It's kind of like, and I've used this illustration before, but it helps to illustrate the point that I'm making. If I told Grady, let's say, to go and cut wood for our wood heater, if I said that, go cut wood for the wood heater, he would understand that I want him to go cut wood. And that means he couldn't go get paper or plastic or something else in order to burn in our wood heater. He would understand I meant wood. But what kind of wood? Well, he'd have options. You know, there are different kinds of wood. You know, pine and oak and poplar and different kinds of wood that he could cut. But let's say that he had heard me in times past tell somebody else, I would not want any other wood in my wood heater except oak. And he heard me say that. And let's say that He knew that every time that I would go out and cut wood for the wood heater, and every time he went with me to cut wood for the wood heater, it was always oak. I always cut oak for the wood heater. Then he would then know what I meant when I said, go cut wood for the wood heater. Then he could then, what, necessarily infer from a statement that I made before and also from the examples that he had seen that I would want him to go and cut wood for the wood heater. Now, that's what he would interpret those words. And I'm saying we do that all the time in our interpretation of words and of instructions that are given to us. Now, when we talk about express statement, approved examples, and necessary inference as being the means of interpreting God's will, that's not a hermeneutic. That is not a form of interpreting, a means of interpreting that the Church of Christ has come up with in order to determine what we're to do. That's something we do all the time. That's the way we interpret. It's through telling somebody something, showing somebody something, or inferring. We do it all the time. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about express statement, approved example, and necessary inference. And so when we interpret Scripture, we use the same rules that we use every day in our interpretation of the Bible. Just use some good common sense in coming to an understanding. And then finally, two more. Employ mental industry. The employment of mental industry is required. It's not going to just be a few minutes reading here, and I've read my Bible. No, it's going to require some time and effort to sit down and read and study and think about it. Learning the meanings of these words. If I don't know the meaning of a word, I look up the definition of that word. And that requires time and effort. And because we love God, we desire to please Him, we're going to put forth that effort. We're going to take the time necessary in order to learn. That's essential if we're going to come to an understanding of His will. And then prayer. We need God's help. We can't expect His help, though, without prayer. Look with me in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We lack wisdom. I want wisdom. Well, ask of God who gives. And notice he says here, gives to all liberally and without reproach. He's not going to cast that request back into your teeth. It's not, why are you asking me that? That's not what he's going to say. He's going to want to give you the wisdom. He wants to give it to you liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But we need to believe. In faith, we need to ask. As we study, and as we read with open and honest hearts, the Lord's going to be with us and He's going to provide us with the wisdom that we need. But we've got to have that good and honest heart. You remember in the parable of the sower, the seed that fell upon different kinds of soil, some of the soils brought forth, different kinds of fruit, or it responded different ways to the seed. Well, the good soil, that soil that brought forth of the plan, and it brought forth fruit, is described as the good and honest heart. And that's what we need to have in receiving the Word, the seed, the Word of God, is the good and honest heart. I want the truth. I'm going to be as honest as I possibly can. I'm going to open my heart, whatever is true. It doesn't matter what the consequences may be in my life. It doesn't matter what changes I need to make. I will make them because I want to please God more than anything else. And we then pray to God with that heart. And we then take the time necessary and the effort that is required to come to an understanding. You will know the truth. You'll know it. And you'll be able to please the Lord. And you'll be able to go to heaven. The Lord's made it possible for us to go to heaven. He did not make it impossible. But as we mentioned last week, our going to heaven is not far, or at least the Lord's provision for us going to heaven is not far the careless and the lazy. It's for those who really want to go, who really want to please God. And they're ones who are willing to do whatever it takes to do it. And the Lord's made it possible for them to do it. And we can if we want to. So these are some hindrances to profitable Bible study and some requirements. And I hope that some things we said will help you as you think about your study of the Bible. And I hope everyone will leave here with the view, I can know God's will and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to start studying. There may be some here this evening who are not Christians. You've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ, but you know what you need to do. You've read God's Word. You've come to an understanding of what He has said. You just haven't obeyed as yet. Well, come to Jesus tonight. Render obedience to that gospel that you know. You know what it says. And the Lord will save you if you'll obey Him tonight by coming to Him in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've become a Christian and you cease to love Him like you ought, and you're not serving Him like you ought, you're not seeking His will like you ought, then repent of that. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. And if you want the prayers of the brethren, we'll pray for you. So come forward. If you need to come, why not come while together we stand and sing?